you ask me, Twitch seems a little twitchy. This is The Boop Show for August 7th, 2014. I'm Scott Johnson with some news you can use. Welcome back to the show. This is Boop, episode, I don't know, is it four already? Yeah, it is. Wow. Think about that. Welcome back. It is the video game and commentary podcast that I just started, and you guys have been very gracious about and have accepted with open arms. If you were already part of the Frog Pants family, and you just sort of said, hey, come on in, the water's fine, I really appreciate that. For those who are perhaps more skeptical, I hope that we're growing on you. That's what I hope. I've got to talk about this Twitch deal. It's been all anybody's sort of wanted to talk about over the last couple of days. There's other news, but I want to address it early and up top. And here's the short version, and most of you have heard this, so I don't want to just pound it into you. If you're paying any attention at all to what's been happening with Twitch.tv, you'll know that the company responsible for both Twitch and originally Justin TV, which was kind of like their, I don't know, more social teenage girl vlog site thing, was fine. It did its job, but it wasn't video game focused the way Twitch is. That has been folded. That is gone. That no longer exists. It is off this planet. Shuffled off the mortal coil, as the kids say. And that kind of came out of nowhere. It's like, boom, thanks for the memories, we're out. So they're gone. All your videos you may have had there, they're gone too. And then Twitch swings around and says, all right, look, here's some other stuff we're doing. No longer can you archive big, giant videos on our site. We're going to kill all those too. Well, that's interesting. Wonder what's up with that. And this rumored, long rumored, somewhat confirmed deal was floating around that Google was paying $1 billion to acquire Twitch. Kind of made a lot of sense in a lot of ways. In a few ways, it seemed a little weird, but whatever. So Twitch comes in and they go, all right, look, we're taking out archiving stuff. You can do little clips and things, but that's it. Part of the reason we're getting rid of this giant back catalog of saved videos is because it's just riddled with licensed music that you don't have the rights to have in there. And like, oh, well, this seems like they're getting ready for Google to take over, because Google's all into making sure there's no unauthorized music played over videos on YouTube. So makes sense that perhaps they want to crack down here, or, you know, to make the deal as palatable as possible. Maybe they're requiring this in order for the deal to go through. That seems likely, or at least seemed likely. And they basically said, look, if you're playing a video game that has licensed music in it, it's part of the video game. But that licensee has not been given the right to also have it play over a stream, you might have to turn the music off on your games and not stream that, or else you get muted and no one will hear you. Now, it's only affecting saved clips right now, but they're working toward that happening during the live streams, right? So if you're playing Dota 2 and you're playing your favorite, I don't know, mixtape of the greatest hits of Journey, you're going to get flagged and muted as a result, and maybe even banned. I don't know how far they go with that. I don't know that they've actually threatened bannings, but they've definitely threatened mutings. And there are already examples up there where they've shown how the player works now and how they mute the streams. So that I can kind of understand. But then hearing stories about, like, dude, what made the music for the game he's playing on Twitch? He's the license holder. He's the one that owns all the rights. And he's playing the game in which his music is in it. The music that he personally authorized and said, yes, you can license my soundtrack for your video game, and he gets muted because they're not checking to see who he is. They don't have checks like that. It's all a little bit weird. People are freaking out and claiming this is spelling the beginning of the end, or the Googlefication of Twitch, this once grassroots video game focused effort, right? That's what a lot of people say. Then I read this piece by Ron Amadio. I want to say that's how you say his name. I hope I got that right. I want to say he writes for Ars Technica. I could be wrong. But he's got a great Google Plus post where it is headlined thusly: What the hell is going on at Twitch, he says. Been paying attention to Twitch news the last few days. So he talks about Justin TV going away, everyone's accounts being deleted, saved videos are being erased. Okay, just boom, out, done. Today, Twitch announces past broadcasts can no longer be saved forever. They will now be deleted after 14 days of normal accounts or on normal accounts and 60 days for subscribers. In 3 weeks, all past broadcasts older than 60 days will be erased completely. Gone, out, finished. Highlights may be saved individually. They can never be anything longer than 2 hours. That seems like a weird thing to call a highlight, but anyway, that's fine. He says, what is up with these mass deletions of content and all these sudden limitations? I don't see how this would be a result of a Google acquisition. All three of these moves seems designed to cut costs and save on storage space. Two ideas that are completely foreign to Google. There's a sarcasm there. I mean, Google. Google has all the storage they would ever need. Why would a company that was about to get a $1 billion cash injection and unlimited resources start wiping all of this data and limiting archiving? Google loves data and wants to keep everything around. Just look at things like Google Plus, auto upload, and Gmail. It's not copyright related because deleting older content that a certain arbitrary date or with a certain arbitrary date does nothing to fix copyright violations. Twitch still has live video and 60-day old video. If you're going to call streaming a video game copyright infringement, all of that is still infringing. There's nothing about a video being old that makes copyright infringement more or less bad, or more or less relevant, I guess. Anyway, he goes on, talks about there's no cleanup here. They're going to scan videos automatically. They're going to mute them, which is basically neuter them. This includes game music. They've already muted videos of Pokemon for containing Pokemon music and Punch-Out on the NES because it contained music for Punch-Out. So he says this in kind of summary. I don't see a company prepping for a Google takeover. I see panic. Panic and lack of understanding of what it should be doing. I think Google would want to keep all the old data instead of deleting it and enforce the DMCA on existing videos by processing takedown requests as they come in, which is all the law requires, and that's exactly what Google does on YouTube and all their other services now. Why is Twitch doing this, he asks. Who the hell thinks any of this is a good idea? I think if Google was behind these changes, you would see a much more organized and experienced transition. Part of me thinks, and here's the important bit, part of me thinks that the Google deal fell through or something, and this is Twitch's attempt to tighten down costs and try to stand on its own. It's just weird all of a sudden that all these changes were made, blah, blah, blah. They all seem to be misguided, harmful to the service, and doesn't solve any of Twitch's current problems. I see three instances of cutting storage costs and one ham-fisted misapplication of copyright enforcement, none of which smells like Google to me. I hate to say it. I'm not trying to be conspiratorial here. Pretty sure I agree with that guy. All right, let's get into the other news of the week, or the day. You know, we're doing this on Mondays and Thursdays now. That makes sense to everybody. And it is Thursday, so let's get right to it. Nintendo's indie lead, Dan Adelman, has left the company and has returned to Twitter. He said this on Twitter, happy to announce I reached an arrangement with Nintendo of America whereby I can tweet again. Arrangement includes me not working there anymore. Ooh, zing. Yeah, he's out. Nintendo's got a PR problem. I mean, I understand wanting to clamp down on somebody who's saying things they shouldn't be saying or sharing industry secrets or whatever, but if somebody's a little bit critical of the way things are going, to just sort of shut that down in this weird draconian way seems dangerous. And now he's out. And now one of the great voices for quality indie experiences on Nintendo platforms, a real evangelist in that way, has been silenced. He is no more. Sony gave up on PlayStation Mobile for Android this week. Oh, man. Do any of us care? I don't care, but whatever. I don't think it works. If it works, we wouldn't be getting rid of it. Sony has announced that it will no longer support the Android side, this according to The Verge, of PlayStation Mobile. Its initiative to support cross-platform indie game publishing for the PS Vita and Google OS. The service will continue to operate on PlayStation certified devices, running Android 4.4.2 and below, but from Android 4.4.3 and up. That's probably got some ice cream name, right? Sony can't guarantee that games will play correctly on those or for those users, nor that they'll be able to access the store at any point. phones and tablets on Android L, the upcoming major refresh. That's the one I like because it's not food. Won't have store access at all. And Sony says it has no plans to give any more devices PlayStation certified status. Basically, they're pulling a Twitch. They're like, you know, we're done with this. This did not work out. We're finished. Sony also in the news being sued over Killzone Shadowfall's graphics. Do you guys hear about this? This is crazy. That was my my Jay Leno. You guys hear about this? You hear about this? Sony Computer Entertainment America has been hit with a lawsuit alleging deceptive marketing of Killzone Shadowfall, the launch title for the PS4, because the PlayStation 4 game's multiplayer mode does not run at the resolution advertised. The suit filed in California by a resident named Douglas Lador. Sounds like a bad guy in Killzone. In Northern District of Columbia, or District of California Court, rather, Northern District California Court alleged that Sony advertised Killzone Shadowfall would run at a native 1080p resolution, but they say they used a shortcut, like a technological shortcut to sort of have similar results. They say it's not true 1080p. In March, Eurogamer's Digital Foundry analyzed Shadowfall's graphics, and then they reported, Digital Foundry, by the way, is awesome. If you ever want to go look at comparison videos and stuff. They say it runs at 960 by 1080 as opposed to 1920 by 1080. And they're suing him. I think that's super dumb. I think you shouldn't say the game runs multiplayer at 1080p. But, I mean, that's not cool. But why do we got to be so litigious? Is it that big of a deal? I want emails on this one. Am I being too soft on this? Should Sony have been more responsible? Maybe they should have, but suing them for that, man? Come on. Come on. Evolve has been delayed like every other damn game. It seems like everything you care about seems like it's being delayed to 2015. 2015 is a hell of a year. There's some real good games coming, but they all should have been this year. Turtle Rock Studios, this is their shooter, Evolve. These are the guys primarily responsible for the Left 4 Dead series over there at Valve. It's been delayed till February 10th, 2015. This, according to publisher Take-Two Interactive. They announced this in their earnings call. The game was originally supposed to be October 21st, and I was very much looking forward to it. We can get some friends together, man. No random multiplayer, though. No pug in that game. It's too much coordination has to happen. Anyway, Take-Two did not provide a reason for the delay of the game, says this article in Polygon. And they say they need extra development time, and that will benefit the game. They said February is a favorable release window, unquote. And the alpha, I guess, went well. They at least say that in their... it may not have gone that well. If it would have gone October well, we might be playing it soon. Xbox One bundles for Sunset Overdrive and Madden NFL 15 are on the way. Oh, yay. If you didn't already get an Xbox One, maybe this is your chance to get it. Actually, I'm tempted by the Sunset Overdrive bundle. Madden one I could care less, but the that Sunset Overdrive looks like fun to me, and I'm a big fan of Insomniac, so I think that looks all right. These are two major bundles, Madden 15, like I said, Sunset Overdrive, and the bundle will feature a standard Xbox One unit, sans Kinect. This is for the Madden bundle, along with a download copy of the game for $399, $399 of your hard-earned dollars. That's the regular price of a Kinect-free Xbox One, so you're basically getting Madden for free. We'll look at it that way. Madden 15 is set for release August 26th, and the bundle will be available then. It'll also include three pro packs for Madden's Ultimate Team. I haven't played Madden in so long, I don't know what that is. Do you know what that is? I don't know what that is. You will not need... this is a big correction for last week. You do not need an Xbox Live Gold subscription to use EA Access. Turns out, that's good. I actually am starting to come around on this EA Access thing. I think it's a pretty good deal. I don't know that I care that much about EA games right now, but if something comes out I'm super stoked about, like, I don't know, the new Dragon Age, I guess. You know, this seems like it's a pretty good deal. Not too bad. It will not require that you maintain your active Xbox Live membership. And this was confirmed by an EA rep. Quote, EA Access doesn't require an Xbox Live Gold subscription, says the EA spokesman to a Polygon reporter. However, in order to use the multiplayer functionality for games in the vault, you need to have it. Well, that's what I thought. I mean, I knew, I didn't know if you had to have it, period. But now that we know you don't, well, you do need it for multiplayer. Duh. That's the whole point of Gold. And PS Plus, for that matter, now. They're all doing it. They're all sticking it to the man. Diablo 3, here's some good news. If you were struggling with this before, worry no more. This is being reported everywhere, including the official Diablo 3 site. The cross-manufacturer cloud-saving feature allowing players to transfer their data from a PS3, for example, to an Xbox One, or from an Xbox 360 to a PS4. You could already do 360 to One or PS3 to PS4. That was already a thing. But now you can cross-platform that business from like a PS3 to an Xbox One or 360 to PlayStation 4. That will be capable and possible day one launch of the Ultimate Evil Edition. Which is what, 2 weeks away? Something like that. I really enjoy the console versions of Diablo, and I think this is good news. Because if you decided, man, PlayStation's just not for me anymore, I'm getting a one this generation, then good news for your old save. It'll move right over. They are not allowing PC players to move their saves to consoles or vice versa. Are you surprised by that? Does that shock you at all? Well, it shouldn't. All right, we're going to do a little segment fun here. Usually I just do those reviews, right? And some of you are like, man, don't give the trolls the spotlight. Don't let them have their day in the sun. Do something else here. So I'm going to do a little mix of things, okay? I'm going to give you a... Well, somebody sent this in. This is an email. Came in and said, hey, Scott, people should get this. It's free, says Carl Shard. His last name is Shard. How badass is that? The Expendables 3 meets Broforce in a free game called The Expendabros. This is the link he sent me. I'll read the quote. Two action movie nostalgia tapping titans, video game Broforce and action hero all-star flick The Expendables 3 coming together for a limited time release called The Expendabros. It's free to download from Steam right now. Costs you zip nothing. Not a dime. This is all courtesy of publisher Devolver Digital. Cross-platform game, or the cross-promotional game, I should say, will let players assume the bro-ified versions of characters from the Expendables movies, including Bro Caesar, Terry Crews, Bro Christmas, Jason Statham, Brony Ross, Sylvester Stallone, Trent Brosner, Arnold Schwarzenegger, Broner Jensen, Dolph Lundgren, Brock, Wesley Snipes, and Toll Brode, Randy Couture. Gibson's character is not in it, I don't think. No, you hunt him down, that's the deal. Whatever, I installed it, I played it. It's Broforce, but with a slightly more linear storyline, kind of. Not really, but sort of. And it's a bunch of levels you haven't seen yet, and it's fun and totally throwaway, and you'll never like it as much as you do the real Broforce. So my recommendation is, if you haven't played Broforce, get a taste of it with this, see what you think, have some fun, toss it, and go buy their big game, the full game. All right. I recommend it. All right, here you go. A Metacritic review from a person named Women Love Games. Score 3, 3 out of 10. On the topic of murdered sole suspect for the Xbox 360. This one's a beaut. Boring, boring, boring. From the first minute to the last, I couldn't help but roll my eyes, go to the toilet, grab a snack, and even study for my exams. This game was announced a few years back with a whole lot of enthusiasm and anticipation. What happened? Everything else, apparently. I like the reviews. You guys have to tell me what you think, but I think they're fun. We'll see. Maybe I'll do more. Check this out. We got a call in. Let's play this.
Hey Scott, I was thinking about video game soundtracks and just the score of a video game. For certain video games, I just put in my headphones and listen to something I want to listen to or listen to a podcast. For other games, I listen to the score because I love the score. I love the music. I love the sound effects. I love the ambient sounds. I love everything. But how important do you think is sound for making a good video game? Is it more important than gameplay? Is it more important than graphics? Does the soundtrack make a video game good or bad? Does it make it or break it? Let me know what you think. Thanks.
it can make it bad if it's bad, or it can be a bad part of it, and you can turn it off a lot of times. Sometimes soundtracks are better than the game you're playing. But in a good game, a soundtrack can be an incredible addition to the other two things you mentioned, which are, I guess, graphics and story or other sound work or whatever. I think it's just an important key on the ring of keys, right? A good soundtrack is amazing. Like, I still, when I play World of Warcraft, I still listen to Russell Brower and Crew's music on top of all that stuff, because it's great. Adds to the ambience of the game and creates a real mood for me. I don't want to play Thomas Was Alone without that soundtrack. I wouldn't have the fondness for Marble Madness I do in my arcade days if it wasn't for that rad music. Would Mario be as interesting as it is without this? All right, we got another email here. I'm going to read this one. All right, this is from Christian. It says, hello, it's Christian from England here. I was listening to your episode of Boop when I realized I need, and I mean need, some sort of progression and customization to play a game now. What happened? I'm kind of with you, man. Any game without these features, die or fast or bore me. I don't know what that means. I think he means die fast or bore me. To the point of having buyer's remorse. The course of the game has a super story. Sometimes it doesn't matter so much. But games like Quake don't even have the spark they did when I was younger. Hey, I'm not complaining, as there are tons of great games out there, and many of them meet these requirements, and they are amazing. Thanks and bye, Christian. P.S. Your podcast has given me, saved me from withering away at my weekend job at Sainsbury's. What is Sainsbury's? Some British thing. Progression is here to stay, man. That's what we're doing. Okay. That's where we're spending our time. Do not be shocked. Do not be blown over. Just sit down and enjoy yourself. All right, let's take a minute and talk about what I've been playing and what you should be playing, okay? We spent a lot of time on the final score talking about what we've been playing, so I don't do a lot of that here. But I am going to tell you that you ought to be playing that Expandable Bros thing, because it's just fun and stupid. I'm not going to tell you again about Marvel Heroes. I am still playing that and loving it, but you're sick of me talking about it. So if you haven't already picked it up, downloaded the freaking free client, and tried it, then I don't know what's wrong with you. That's a hell of a game. But Expandable Bros is free, and if you haven't played Broforce, you haven't played my favorite game that's not even technically out yet, still in beta, I guess, right? What a game. I've also, I caved and I picked up, for the second time in my life, Rogue Legacy on the Vita and PlayStation 4 with cross-play capability and saves. And that game's great, and I forgot how much I loved it, and I forgot how addicting it is. I didn't forget, I just wasn't sure I wanted to do it all over again, but it turns out I do. And I'm having a ball. Totally worth it. Should totally get that. And I got a lot of you guys emailing me and calling me out on Firefall and my negative reaction to it. I probably didn't give it the time it needs to tell you why I had such a problem with it. I played that game back when they did that limited beta, and at the time thought, this is okay, but, beta, they got stuff to do. They didn't really do anything. Here's my problem with the game. And I wanted it to be good. That game was marketed and hyped all hell and back. So I really thought we were going to get something special because I bought into that hype. And the shooting is mushy, and I don't like how it controls, and I don't feel like the guns behave in ways that are fun. I don't like the mission structure. It's extremely repetitive. I don't think it looks very good. I think it looks kind of crappy. And there's very little in those things I just said that makes me want to hang around and keep going. A few of you really like it, and you emailed your consternation, and I apologize if I came off as dismissive, but having spent a pretty good amount of time with the game, I can safely say, meh. Now, what I like about free-to-play games and these kinds of games, they tend to get better over time. The game I rave about lately, which is Marvel Heroes 2015, came out with lots of bugs, issues, and problems. Some very fundamental problems. Problems that kept me away for a while. But these games are living, breathing creatures now, these days. And they update them. The good developers do. They create a regular treadmill of patches, and content. And when they do that, they improve it, they iterate, they make it better. I love that game now. So Firefall could do the exact same thing. I hope they have the money and the backing to do it. Marvel probably has unlimited amounts of money. If they can just make a little money, they don't have to worry about where the next paycheck's going to come from. But I don't know how it's going for the Firefall guys. I'm not saying they will or won't. I'm saying that that will be the true test of whether this game lives or dies. Not good to make a bad first impression, but I am willing to revisit when they have done some work on that thing. But right now, not loving it. I apologize for the fart noise. Probably get called out on that too. That's going to do it for this edition of The Boop Show. Boop! Thank you guys for joining me. Be back on Monday with a brand new episode. We'll see what happens over the weekend, eh? Eh? I'm really having a good time with it. Thank you all for your wonderful feedback. We are on Stitcher now. So if you want to search Stitcher for Boop, B-O-O-P, we're there. If that's how you get your podcast and your entertainment, whatever, you can get it there now. It took them a little while, but they got it. You can also find us at frogpants.com/boop. We'll have archives. They're all there. Web playable as well, if that's how you prefer to get it. Boopshow@gmail.com is where you can find us on the email. Send in your thoughts, your comments, your attachments. I like your phone calls a lot. You can call 206-339-1320, 206-339-1320. Leave a message. I'll talk to you there. We also have a subreddit, boopshow.reddit.com. And pulling some stories from there as well. There isn't a lot of activity yet, but let's get going. Come on. If you guys want that thing, you got to make it go. On Twitter, you can follow me at Scott Johnson, or you can follow the show at Boop Show, B-O-O-P-S-H-O-W. Our music today provided by our friends at the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra. Music for a 1950s video game in digital music stores now. You can support me and this show by buying stuff at the Frog Pants store at frogpants.com/store. Might I recommend the Pixel Interpretation series of prints. If you're an old school Nintendo 8-bit fan, there's surely something there for you. It's going to do it, man. Thanks, you guys. Seriously. I love hanging out with you guys. I want to do this again. Can we do this again? Let's come back on Monday and do it again. Hey, what about that Marble Madness theme again? Yeah? Here it is.
This podcast is part of the Frog Pants Studios Network. For more information about this and other shows, visit frogpants.com. Audio program so good, it's like you're there.
Jill!
Barry!